BYUSN, welcome to Rivalry Eve for number 9 BYU and Utah. What's on the line? An at-large bid to the college football playoff and winning numbers for the Cougars to win in Salt Lake City for the first time in almost 20 years. I go one-on-one with Darius Lassiter. How's he feeling heading into the rivalry showdown and the mindset of the team for tomorrow night?
It's a ball night for men's hoops. What's the one thing we want to see improved from game one to tonight's matchup with UC Riverside? And Austin Colley in this week's Big 12 Pick'em guest segment, why he's confident BYU wins tomorrow, and the story behind 4th-and-18 in 2007.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, November 8th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man more than ready to rival right, Jerem Jordan.
This is my favorite sporting event that exists in the state of Utah. That includes the Jazz and now the Utah Hockey Club and Real Salt Lake and everybody. BYU Utah is special for the state. It's going to be a ton of fun. Obviously, a ton on the line for BYU. Certainly, there, as I've mentioned, there's no excuse to lose this game for the Cougars. Got to go in and win in Salt Lake. It'll be exciting for us to be up there in Rice-Eccles Stadium tomorrow night.
As a favorite in Salt Lake City, that hasn't happened in a very long time. Can the Cougars take care of business? That on the mind, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I don't like Utah. In fact, I hate them. I hate everything about them.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I just don't really like BYU.
Not too many friends are made out there.
Rivalry for generations! Fight this guy!
This is the game that's going to define their season.
BYU controls its own destiny.
When you have rivalry games like this,
we're never going to lose to them.
Emotion and ferocity have a whole lot to do with who wins.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah. I'm feeling it right now. Woo.
Ninth ranked BYU at Utah tomorrow night. I believe the quote from him was, "They're never going to beat us." And then BYU did.
Yeah.
The very next game.
can I give you an early Saturday, Spence?
Please do.
Tomorrow, it will have been 1,892 days since Utah beat BYU in football.
And BYU, as we pointed out earlier this week, has not lost in an election a week since 1972.
Vibes are good. Vibes are good.
Come on! BYU's first trip to Salt Lake City since 2018. Cougars trying to win at Rice-Eccles Stadium for the first time since the incredible Beck to Harlene moment.
Way
so let's
long.
Look at a few very important statistics and discuss what would qualify as a winning number for BYU, starting with this, Jerem. All hypothetical, of course. What if the BYU offense scores 24 points tomorrow night? Is that a winning number?
I'm hoping it is, because Utah in this four-game losing streak, has allowed 23, 27, 13, 17. Those are good numbers. If BYU gets to 24, the question is, will Utah's offense score 24? They have not in a Power Four game, this year. They changed OCs recently, Andy Ludwig to Mike Bajakian. He has NFL experience, P4 experience as an OC. Game two here. Who's the quarterback going to be? Will it be Brandon Rose? Will it be Isaac Wilson? It's Isaac Wilson's birthday tomorrow, by the way. 24 feels like it's probably enough. I would like 28 to feel a little more confident in that space. But given that Utah's offense has struggled so much, it feels like 24 is good enough because BYU's defense has been very good too.
This is a rivalry game. And so I almost want to rely on just throwing trends out the window, because we all think, it's going to be one way. And then so often in the rivalry format, it turns out to be a totally different game than that. So I would love to say that 24 is enough. I'm with you. I think BYU probably needs to score a few more than that for the Cougars to feel comfortable. But I will say with confidence, the first team to 24 will win the game. Whoever hits that mark first, I believe, is almost surely guaranteed a win in Salt Lake City.
Okay, BYU's even in the turnover margin. Is that a winning number?
This is a juicy topic, because BYU's been so good taking the ball away.
Yes.
And maximizing those turnovers into points.
Yes.
If it is even, I'm hoping it's not like a three turnovers per team scenario.
3-3, 2-2.
Like it was for BYU at SMU, kind of that type of game.
Honestly, what if it's 1-1? Because that's the most probable, I would say.
Then I like I like BYU's chances because BYU is more consistent. They're more cohesive as an offensive unit. And if there hasn't been like an exorbitant amount of turnovers, then I believe that would favor BYU. I feel like Utah needs to generate multiple turnovers against BYU to be in a good position to win the game.
-4 in margin Utah is this year. BYU's +7.
So even feels like it favors BYU slightly. So I think that is actually a winning number.
BYU has an explosive defense, contrary to the playoff committee talking about explosive offense. BYU has an explosive special teams, too. It's BYU's greatest attribute this year, Spencer, in any facet on the field. Off it is the maturity and motivation from last year and the continuity of the roster. On it is the ability to take away the ball with 14 picks of those 18. So I think that's a winning number.
All right, let's look at what happens after turnovers. BYU has been incredible in taking turnovers from teams and manufacturing points out of them. So, Jerem, I mean, they're blowing teams out of the water. They're outscoring opponents by 7.75 points per game off turnovers. That's the third best in FBS. So what is the winning number in the points off turnovers category?
What is a winning number? Or I think -3 is our proposal here. If BYU's -3 points scored off turnovers, so Utah outscores them.
Let's say it's 10-7 Utah.
I still think BYU is good there. Now, Utah is good in this space too, 43-6 in points off turnovers. BYU 69-10, okay? The one touchdown is Oklahoma State.
That was a weird game.
Yeah. I think in that case, it was more about Oklahoma State running the ball for 269. If Utah doesn't run for 269, which I think we'll talk about in a second, I think you're good. Certainly, when you talk about takeaways, like, was it a pick six? Was it a scoop and score? That is a different kind of turnover than normal. But if it's -3, I think that's probably still a winning number. Utah's offense needs a massive boost from somewhere, whether it's themselves or the defense scoring or setting them up to score. They have to even the game in that space to beat BYU to me. I don't think if it's like the regular offense for Utah and defense and the regular BYU offense and defense, BYU wins that game by 13 to me.
Sure.
But
okay.
But if it's different with a bunch of takeaways and a bunch of points off takeaways or whatever, -3 is not a huge difference. Okay. So I say that's a winning number.
I don't know. That's right on the cusp of making it potentially weird for BYU. Again, it's on the road. It's one thing to overcome giving up a touchdown to Oklahoma State at home. That crowd is going to be begging for something to just get in a frenzy about. And if Utah is generating more points off of turnovers against BYU on their home field, how does BYU handle the pressure, the volume, just the most volatile environment they'll play in all year? I'm excited. We'll learn a lot about this team. How mature is this BYU team? I don't love that number. I'm not ready to say it's a losing number for BYU, but it takes it again. It just puts it in that really weird category. And what -3 is, you can go a lot of different directions. What if it's 17-14 or 13-10 or 10-7 in favor
of Utah?
Pretty
evenish fight in points off turnovers.
Yeah. So I'm not ready to call that a winning number. I'd like to see that be even as well, just like the turnover margin.
Utah rushed for 140 in this game. They've rushed for 140 or less the last four games. Is that a winning number?
Yes, because if Mekhi Bernard cannot get going behind Utah's offensive line, which has been much maligned, I mean, they are better than probably they're getting credit for, but because quarterback play has been so iffy and they just haven't been able to get into a rhythm, it's tough. So if BYU holds Utah to 140 yards or fewer rushing, then that to me feels like absolutely a winning number for BYU.
Yeah, 100%. BYU's fourth best in pass defensive efficiency. So what if Utah can't run the ball for 175 or 200 yards? They got to chuck it. Is it Isaac Wilson coming off a bit of an injury to his wrist and hasn't been effective the last couple of games? They haven't been able to run the ball very well. Is it Brandon Rose? Do we think Brandon Rose suddenly going to throw for 275 against the #4 pass efficiency defense in the country? Like, if BYU can continue to slow down the run. And last week, R.J. Harvey had a nice game, but in the end, BYU was up comfortably. It was garbage yards.
BYU outran
UCF. It was one big run.
70 yards.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. So that would be a winning number, yeah.
Who's the team that gave BYU trouble running the ball? It was Oklahoma State.
Yeah. And that's your closest.
Can we center in on those two things?
Yeah.
Like, so they ran the ball and they created turnovers against BYU and they were in the game.
Yep.
It feels that simple to me. So anyway, 140 rushing or fewer, that to me feels like absolutely.
Yeah, that's complex.
Okay, Utah's given up an average of 175 yards rushing during their current four-game losing streak. So if BYU rushes for 175, is that a winning number for the Cougars?
Probably, because that feels like a good enough number to where BYU's in third and manageable against the number three third-down defense in the country, by the way, of Utah. BYU's set up for explosive plays off of play-action pass. There's a lot of man-to-man for Utah. That means there are opportunities down the field. A lot of cover one. For Utah as well. So there's an opportunity for BYU down the field as well, but you got to be able to establish the run. And yes. Jake Retzlaff himself can help that.
This is 100% a winning number because it allows BYU's playbook to open up big time. If you are rushing for 175 yards, the defense, more often than not, will be guessing. They're not sure what's coming if you are rushing for 175 yards. So, yeah, that's a clear indicator of a win.
Only two teams have done that this year against Utah. It was Arizona State and Houston.
Both those teams
won
beat
those
Utah.
Games. Yep.
There you go.
Yep. Okay, what's on the line for BYU tomorrow? A lot, right?
I hate that I have to take it here, but it feels like an at-large spot in the college football playoff is on the line for BYU based on where the Cougars ended up in the rankings.
If they were number seven, maybe we wouldn't feel that way. But
and I know everyone's like, stop talking about what if BYU loses, and they haven't yet.
Chances are BYU loses the game.
And guess what? And they control their own destiny. I'm looking out for plan B. I know that plan A is always winning every game.
Yes, but let's be honest. The chances are that BYU loses one of the next four at some point.
What if BYU has a slip-up, heaven forbid?
Yeah, we don't want it.
Okay. What if? Do you not want to be in position to have some wiggle room with the likes of Tennessee and Penn State and Texas? Do you not want that? Well, because of where BYU is, they don't really have that. So on the line, I feel like, is at-large spot for the college football playoff tomorrow. Also.
Continue.
I mean, clearly, obviously, your undefeated record in the Big 12 and your shot of getting to the Big 12 title game, boy.
It's complicated with those tiebreakers.
You lose, and it's like now BYU has to win out the rest of the way.
Right.
Now there's zero margin for error.
Right. And you don't have a game that sort of launches you back into the national conversation because Utah's 4-4. Kansas State's 2-6. Arizona State could be good. By this game, and they play Kansas State next week, I think, right? Houston is looking better, has a nice win against Utah, and obviously beat, was it Kansas State last week? There's not that game that sits there that goes, oh, look at what BYU did. Like, BYU's supposed to win all four of these games. So, yeah, that's on the line. Rivalry pride. Don't let Utah mess up the undefeated thing. Come on. First win there since 06 would be nice. Create a new world order here. Big 12, welcome to our league. We're running this place. Like, get that win, right? In-state recruiting battles, send the Utes down the path of no bowl game, perhaps. They have to win two of the last three against a tough finish there with Colorado, Iowa State, and UCF. There's a lot on the line, bro.
When was there this much at stake in a BYU-Utah game specifically? I'm going back to, like, 1996 when BYU and Utah were playing for Mountain West Conference championship game appearance in Las Vegas, and BYU's undefeated conference record was on the line like it is this year.
Maybe 08 when they were both inside the top 15. Like, the stakes were super high. You're playing for a Mountain West Conference Championship.
Doesn't happen often.
A BCS berth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Maybe 08. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
09, both are ranked. Like, that was a big game.
No question.
Hey. So much.
Loaded.
On one. Yeah.
Loaded game. Yeah. How confident are you that BYU will indeed win in Salt Lake City for the first time in 18 years tomorrow night?
We've both been in that stadium a bunch of times where BYU loses, and it's really hard. In Vegas, being down 35-0. Like, we've seen a lot of these tough, tough losses. Yet, the way this BYU team is playing, the way that Utah team is playing, the OC, the quarterback situation, the rhetoric, not knowing the name of the actual rivalry, breathing heavy in interviews. I'm confident that BYU will win this game by 10+. I really am. I'm feeling very confident.
Wow.
I think they feel wronged by the college football playoff ranking. I think they didn't like the comments from Glover earlier this week. I think BYU is a mature team that's playing great football that's going to win by 10+. For the first time by that margin or better since 96.
96.
I'm feeling confident. Obviously, I'm also remembering a lot of games where BYU should have won and they didn't up there. But this team has no excuse to lose this game.
How do you quantify confidence? I'm going to do it with a golf analogy. Let's go ahead and say you're playing against your heated rival in a it's been a great contest. You're on the 18th green. All you have to do.
So Koepka and DeChambeau?
All you have to do is make a 4-foot putt. And there's a little bit of a break in it. You should make that putt. You're good. You've been good all day. But there's that pressure that comes in. On the 18th, you need to make the 4-footer. And it's just at that distance where it's like, it's a little iffy. It's not a tap in. You need to hit a confident putt. If BYU can go in there and play with confidence and not overthink this thing, not overthink the 4-foot putt, and just do what they've done all year, been consistent for the entire round, then they should win the game. But that's kind of how my emotions are. Like, you should, but can you execute it when the pressure is on? I cannot wait to watch BYU deal with the pressure.
I think it helps that you have former Utes who are coaching the Cougs on this side there, by the way. Sione Puha, Jay Hill, there's Gary Anderson and company. They know what it's like to be there. They know what it's like. Kalani coached up there for 10 years. Aaron Roderick coached up there forever. The intermingling here is pretty fun. I'm confident, man. Let's see it.
You got a huge gallery watching. I got to just tap it in.
Just tap it.
Make the 4-footer. Our question of the day. Which GIF best explains how you feel about the BYU-Utah game tomorrow? I love it when we ask you to be creative and you deliver. You're so good. So good as a fan base here. At SnowBlue75 responds with the Remember the Titans GIF.
You make sure they remember forever.
Leave no doubt.
Not 1 yard. At Matthew Elliott, or at Melliott Educate. Shia LaBeouf. Do it. Just do it. What are you waiting for? Make your dreams come true. Do it. Amen. These are great. Continue to weigh in. X Facebook, Instagram. It's a ball night for men's hoops. They host the Highlanders of UC Riverside tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Hey, we've got pregame on BYU TV and BYU Radio coming up at 8 Eastern.
Oh, yeah, there's that too. Basketball game.
Oh, by the way. Yegor Demon.
Up next, I got one-on-one with BYU wide receiver Darius Lassiter on his mindset and the team's mindset before the rivalry game with Utah. Does he have some bulletin board material ready? This is BYU Sports Nation.
The only thing that can hurt this team is us. We just got to beat this team, and we know who we are. We make our presence known.
Darius ran the post!
To us, it's just another game. It's just another opponent that's in our way.
Throws. Caught! Touchdown! Lassiter!
Let Darius dance! Live in Studio B, this is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Darius Lassiter is at the center of our first interview on this Game Day Eve show. We discuss everything leading up to the emotions of the rivalry, how BYU's been preparing, and does he have any special bulletin board material that he's using to motivate himself and his teammates? It's Darius Lassiter, one-on-one on BYU Sports Nation. Darius, you've been involved in a lot of football. You've played in rivalry football games before. BYU-Utah 2024 takes on, in some ways, a whole new meaning for you and what it means to BYU's football season. So how are you approaching this week of rivalry football?
The good thing is we got a chance to go out there and play our in-state rivals. But to us, it's just another game. And it's just another opponent that's in our way from stopping us achieving our ultimate goal and the things that we want to get done that we didn't get to do last year. So everybody's attacking it the same way we attack it each and every week. This is Super Bowl opportunity number 9 for us. So we treat it as that, even though we're not underdogs this week. So we still got that kind of mindset.
How have you used the 2 weeks to get better as a BYU football team specifically?
Yeah, coming off a bye week, we just had an extra week just to prepare. Normally you just go right into another game and you just got that week, but having 2 weeks, especially against a team like this, even though their record doesn't show how good they are, they're still a good team, and they still have great players over there, so we can't just count them out, and we just got to keep attacking it just like we did the first bye week. Coming back, I think we did great with that. Things are carrying over, just cleaning up a little bit of things before we get ready to go here in a few days.
Specifically, as you look at Utah and their defense, what are they going to try and do to cause BYU problems on offense, and how they're going to attack you that way?
Yeah, they're probably going to try to make it real hard for Jake. A lot of man coverage on us. Just tempt us to just try to pass it and see if we got the playmakers to go out there and do it and kind of just throw a lot at Jake. So at the end of the day, it's going to come out to the receiver sightings and even the running backs going out there catching pass out the backfield to make plays for him.
What do you think of the prospect of a lot of man coverage as a receiver at BYU?
I love it. This group, this receiver room, we take that as disrespect to anybody they can feel they can play man coverage with us the entire game. That's just our mindset, and that's the way we attack things. And we know that we like our guys over their guys a lot, no matter what the team could be. I like the group that we got, and we can all go make plays.
Disrespect is an interesting word this week because for some, you look at where BYU was placed in the recent college football playoff poll and then some things that were said in rivalry banter recently that don't seem exactly respectful toward BYU. So how do you approach that?
Same way that we always do. Each week we have different opponents that try to get in our heads and talk to us the same way. But we just handle that playing football for four quarters a game with each other. The only thing that can hurt this team is us, and so we can't really go into all the extra nonsense and things like that. We just got to be this team, and we know who we are. We know people are going to talk, but it's up to us to turn another shoulder.
It'll be cold. It'll be loud. But BYU, especially in recent years, has played some of their best football at night with all the eyeballs in that late window on it. So how are you approaching the hostile environment, but yet again in another night scenario?
I feel like just playing away this week, the intensity is just up, just, you know, in-state rivalry and things like that. But I kind of feel like a lot of places just start out loud until you kind of just quiet it off. So that's our goal, to go out there and just execute, play the best that we can on both sides of the ball. And I feel like we got the right group of guys to do that.
Your receivers coach, Fessy Satake, has kind of just been in the background and has helped the receivers room show up, consistently do their thing. So what has his approach and message been like this week and, frankly, all season?
Yeah, our main goal just for this offseason was to get back to where the receiver used to be a few years ago. We kind of full up as a group last year. We didn't attack it like we should have, and we left a lot of plays out of there. So for us, the biggest thing was to make sure that every little opportunity, whether it's the run game or pass game, that we make sure that we make our presence known, physicality, and because we know the plays are always going to come, because that's just who we are as players. So our main goal is just to be who we are and be consistent.
Is it an advantage at all to take whatever is said with the outside noise and, again, comments made by opponents and use it as locker room bulletin board material? Does that work as an advantage for you?
I mean, look at us right now. We're 8-0. We kind of had outside noise since we left off in January, so a lot of people wouldn't expect us to be here now. So we know that we can't really listen to outside noise. We use it as fuel, though, but we can't let it just kind of get us off track of what our main goal is and whether what people think about us or not. A lot of people still question that we probably should be ranked higher in the playoff rankings, but at the end of the day, we're going to go out there and play football. We're going to make them go out there and respect us.
I had once again somebody who is in the media today ask me, Spencer, how is BYU doing this? How are they accomplishing this? And I gave my answers, but I'll ask you the same question. How is BYU continuing to shock the nation and get to 8-0 and be where you are right now?
We're doing it with each other. Last year, it's hard to get close in such a short span with each other. A lot of guys that were players for us last year just came in the fall, and so and then 17 new guys on offense. So it's hard to get your offense really clicking like that when everybody don't really know each other and you don't know how the quarterback really thinks and things like that. So, but I'm not making that an excuse for how things played out last year and things like that, but those are factors. And I feel like this year we're playing more as a team, more as a unit, and you kind of could feel like the culture change here. Everybody, we didn't change our culture. We just doubled down on it. And that's just something that Kalani preached to us and a strength staff throughout the whole summer and winter.
Darius, you've taken some flack and a lot of praise for your TikTok dances as well. You've been labeled the best dancer on the team and have been ribbed about it and whatnot, but you've been throwing it right back at Keelan Marion and some other guys, Caleb Etienne. So how is life as BYU's dance instructor in a way going?
You know, everybody likes to kind of just make fun and say that I just do the dances all the time. But I feel like just Kalani, that's just something that he wants us to do, just have fun within the rules of the game, of course. But he always wants to go out there and have fun because at the end of the day, it's a game. So we go out there, we go score touchdowns, but go out there and have fun and celebrate.
Are you the best dancer in your family?
Yeah, I am, most definitely. I am.
I love that confidence. Speaking of, we'll finish with this. You have a lot of families that has been at the highest level of football, and I know that you're very close to them. What advice are they giving to you on this wild, unexpected, but incredibly enjoyable journey at BYU?
Yeah, they just want me to just take in a moment. They know that a lot of things weren't easy for me as a football player and just, you know, growing up and things like that. So they want me to live in the moment because all the long hours that we put in together, they're finally paying off. And then you kind of just see it on Saturdays and things like that. So those are my biggest supporters right there. And I got nothing for love for the boys.
Love it. Thanks for the time, Darius. And we can't wait to see what you have in store next time you get in the end zone.
Yeah, thank you.
I look forward to a dance or two from Darius coming up tomorrow with pregame coverage starting at 8 Eastern, BYU Sports Nation, Game Day on BYU TV, Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio. The game's at 10:15 Eastern on ESPN and BYU Radio. Postgame right after on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Hey, the BYU at Utah rivalry fun actually starts tonight. Details after this on BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 9 BYU football on the road tomorrow night against Utah. First meeting between these two rivals since 21. The first meeting in Salt Lake City since 2018. First meeting as conference foe since 2010. Pre-game coverage begins Saturday night at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
It's a lot of firsts. BYU men's basketball after their first game, hosting UC Riverside tonight. For game number 2, BYUSN Countdown and Cougar Pregame Live start at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The game tips off 9 Eastern on ESPN+. Listen on BYU Radio.
Women's basketball hosts Wyoming tomorrow afternoon for the second game of the season. Coverage begins at 4 Eastern on ESPN+ and BYU Radio.
And number 21, BYU Women's Volleyball at number 23, Utah tonight. 9 Eastern. Watch it all unfold on ESPN+. The Cougars won the first showdown in Provo in 5 sets. That wraps up your headlines. After the break, Austin Colley joins us to preview BYU-Utah at Rice-Eccles and make his Big 12 picks for the week. This is BYUSN. BYU Sports Nation is live late in the show, game day eve, and we have saved perhaps the best for last. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton here in Studio B. Let us welcome in the man who produced Magic Happens. Austin Colley is back on BYU Sports Nation to preview BYU-Utah. Austin, great to see you on Friday. How are you?
What's up, fellas? I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Can you feel it? Can you feel it in
yeah.
the air?
Yeah, I can feel it. Do you feel like this undefeated top 10 BYU team, is Magic happening? Are they living right on and off the field? Is that why this is happening?
I'll tell you what, they're doing that and then some. Okay, because they, you know, it's exciting watching this team. I am excited to see how they put it on Utah. They dog walk Utah out of the stadium. it's gonna be a close game. It's gonna be a close game. I think BYU. What we've seen from BYU, I don't think anyone's thought BYU was gonna be starting off 8-0. I did say 8 wins though, if you remember right, Spence.
I remember
when I was on the show. But, you know, the fact that they're 8-0, you know, things are coming together. To be 8-0 in this league, I think, in the country, at this level of competition, things have got to go right, and things have got to go right a lot, which is what I think has happened for BYU thus far.
Austin, we've gone through the numbers and categories we feel will most prominently factor into whatever happens tomorrow night in Salt Lake City. So let's discuss some of the main keys that you have been focusing on that you believe would lead to a BYU victory. So if you had 2 or 3, what are those keys to BYU winning in Rice-Eccles Stadium for the first time in 18 years?
I think the biggest thing is we got to keep pressure off of Jake, right? Jake is one that if you allow him to get his confidence going, feeling comfortable in the pocket, great things happen. He makes great plays. And then establishing the run game, right? Like I think both with Jake as well as LJ and Rapati and some of the other backs, I think we're able to establish a run game. And I'm not saying run the thing on first and second down every series. I'm just saying, you know, we get a few breaks. Now we get them to stop bringing the pressure. We get them playing back on their feet a little bit. I think keeping the pocket clean, establishing the run game. I think if we do that, we're going to come out with a victory.
Are you concerned about who quarterback could be for Utah, or do you have a preference rather of Isaac Wilson on his birthday, by the way, or Brandon Rose, his first career start?
Oh, I think it'd be foolish if Utah starts Brandon Rose. Absolute foolish, right? Like, I think what you're doing right now, as a BYU fan, man, I'm worried for the future, right? Like, the fact that Isaac's getting all these reps, and he is a great talent. Like, I don't think people understand how hard it is to come in as a true freshman and perform, especially when maybe you weren't preparing for that. You were preparing just to be able to sit back and watch Cam Rising, who's been playing for however many years now, watch how he does it and just be able to learn. But then now being thrown into the fire as a true freshman, I mean, this kid was playing on Friday nights, you know, what, 6 months ago, 7 months ago. So, I think every single rep that he gets, especially in games like this, where the energy is going to be different, the environment's going to be different, and playing against good defense like BYU, I think that only benefits them as a football team and their future. And to start somebody else, I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, Utah odds of them making a Big 12 championship run, not great, right? So why not just chalk it up to a development type of year for Isaac Wilson?
I don't see that happening, honestly. We both talked about it. It feels like they're going to make a change. Andy Ludwig out. I think they brought in Rose last week, not only because Isaac hurt his wrist, but because he was not good enough. I think they're looking for an answer, a response to get to a bowl game to save this season. I don't think they're throwing in the towel on for development. I'd be surprised if they don't play Brandon Rose.
That would be the dumbest decision in all of college. Like, You have your quarterback of the future. Why are you going to rock the boat, especially in today's day and age,
where
with
you could
the
bounce.
Transfer portal?
Yeah.
Right? Unfortunately, all these players have all the leverage in the world. So if they're unhappy, like, if he's your guy, stick with them and stick with them through the thick and thin and have some loyalty there. Like, if I'm Isaac Wilson and they go away from me and I'm supposed to be the quarterback of the future and you're not willing to kind of go through the growing pains with me, especially when you had anticipated – already having or me sitting back and there's not a long leash given and now you're giving it to the Rose kid, like, what does that say, right? So why would you rock the boat on your future quarterback, who understandably you're not going to win a lot of games right now because the guy that you're supposed to take you to the promised land, you know, can't stay healthy? That would be the dumbest move from a recruiting standpoint, from a future football standpoint.
That's why I want it tomorrow.
Austin Colley with some strong opinions. The wild card there, obviously, is how significant is Isaac's injury and how does that factor into what Utah feels like they have to do? But we'll table that and we will see. Now, I need you to continue to bring the strong opinions here, Austin, because
always. At
this point, BYU has played 8 games. They've seen a lot of different fronts, a lot of different looks, a lot of different disguises. So what does Utah bring to the table that BYU hasn't seen at some point somewhere in their previous 8 games?
These coaching staffs are very, very familiar with each other. They've coached together for a long, long time. They've coached against each other for a long, long time. That scares me as a BYU fan, right? It'd be one thing if they didn't have a defensive coordinator who didn't know what he was doing, but Morgan Scalley is super smart. He's one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. He's coached with Kalani. He's coached with Jay Hill. He's coached with all these other guys. He's coached with A-Rod, right, most importantly. And so there is a little bit of knowing or putting themselves in each other's shoes and kind of knowing what they're going to do and anticipating that and preparing for that, right? I do not like the fact that they've had a bye along with us as well. They've had an extra week to prepare for us. I mean, it's going to be a dogfight, man. Like, I hope that the offensive line can answer the call, because I think the true Utah team that everybody anticipated at the beginning of the year is in there. Like, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I think they're in there. They're just waiting for it to kind of everything to line up, everything to come together. And, you know, I just hope we don't wake the beast.
Yeah, they've given up. They've given up. You know, less than 28 the last 4 weeks. The offense hasn't helped them out on defense. Okay, want to flash back to 4th and 18 in 2007. We've heard Max's side of the story. I don't know if I've ever asked or we've ever asked you your side of this. Perhaps we have, but tell it again. Okay, it's 4th and 18. You don't make those plays in like any game, let alone Utah and game on the line. Take us back to kind of that moment, that play call, and of course the check from Max for you to run a different rep.
Yeah, so it was just like a forward concept that we called. And then, you know, Max kind of looked at me and he gave me like a little stutter, like a little stutter signal. So essentially it was like a double move route where I'm, you know, I fake like I'm running like a 10-yard hook and then I just take off, right? And when Max called that, I thought, this is the dumbest audible I've ever heard of or seen, because it's 4th and 18. They're going to be playing at the sticks. Why would they ever bite on a 10-yard, 12-yard curl? All they got to do is keep me in front of them. Let me make the catch, make the tackle before the sticks. But, you know, fortunately, Bryce McCain bid on it and was able to get by. I don't know if he thought he was in a cover two scenario. He shouldn't have, because they weren't, right? They were four high, deep, prevent type of coverage. But, you know, I think maybe got a little greedy, wanted to make the drive on the ball, make the pick, and solidify the whole thing. So, but yeah, it was, you know, ball's in the air. It's in slow motion. You're kind of thinking, don't drop it because it is too easy. But, you know, I probably should have stayed in bounds, to be honest with you. I'm mad I kind of followed through out of bounds on that one.
You know what? Maybe another time you can, in the multiverse, you can redo that play. It's yeah. Such a great play. And then, of course, you guys marched down and win the game. And it was awesome, man. It was great.
4th and 18, just one of the many iconic moments in this rivalry game, Austin. Oh, okay.
Harvey balled.
Yes, he did.
Harvey Younger had a game that game.
He was amazing.
Harvey left the game with some red paint on his helmet. Yeah.
And that's a redshirt freshman. Absolutely. Harvey Younger, by the way. He's yeah. a young kid.
That's how I want to see our backs finish this weekend, right? The way that he did on the goal line, man, that was awesome.
All right, and we're going to finish this interview strong with our weekly Big 12 Pick'em segment. It is your opportunity, Austin, to try and be the most knowledgeable, to be the guy who finally bests Ashley Hatch as the best celebrity Pick'em expert.
How many did she get?
She was 4-1, so 80% or better is what you got to do to tie or best her.
Jeez. Okay. All right. Good for her.
Guaranteed to be better than Bowler.
Something tells me I'm going to be right below Craig right there.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's get this thing going as you try and catch the great Ashley Hatch. Let's begin with game number one. A couple of Big East rivals from back in the day. They're now in the Big 12 facing each other. It's West Virginia, a team that's really been hard to put a target on this year. And then Cincinnati, who's been pretty good at home. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Cincinnati. Bearcats, let's go.
I've got the Bearcats as well. Big games coming up for them. They play Iowa State and Kansas State on the road the next 2 and 3 weeks.
I'm taking some Flyers. Just because West Virginia has been unpredictable and has underperformed more than they have been what I thought they would be, they're going to figure it out. So to mix it up between you two guys, I'm taking West Virginia on the road to pull an upset against Cincinnati. Okay, game number two. And this is, in some ways, next to BYU-Utah, the game of the week in Big 12 play, with number 20 Colorado at Texas Tech. Big noon kickoff. Both are still technically in the running for a Big 12 title game appearance, Austin. Is it Coach Prime, or do you feel like it's going to get weird in Lubbock and Tech wins?
Oh, I think Tech wins for sure.
I've got
Tech's humming, man. Tech's kind of putting it together. They're a very, very good football team, and at home they're even better, especially day games. I don't know how many times Colorado's played during the day. I mean, typically they're playing at night. You know how weird it can get during the time of days with the Cougars, right? Like, I think that plays a big part into it. They're on the road. I think Texas Tech wins.
I think Colorado's more like Baylor than we think. Baylor put up 59 a couple of weeks ago in Lubbock, where Robertson chucked it. Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and the gang, they can see that they can make the Big 12 title game. Give me the Buffs.
Yeah, the game that gives me hesitation is the one that Jerem just referenced, when Baylor went in there and they made it weird in Lubbock and ran out of there, seemingly turning their season around. You know what? I'm going to go with Tech. I'm going to go with you, Austin. Yeah, I think Tech on their home field, riding the wave of momentum against Iowa State, they don't turn it over a ton. They'll find a way to beat Colorado. Game number three. What has happened to Oklahoma State? Oh, my gosh. Their bowl game streak is seriously and literally on the line here. Win this in Big 12 play. At TCU is a 10-point underdog. Did they figure it out, Austin? Is this the week Oklahoma State wins?
Not a chance. I'm going TCU, right? If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a guy to lead the team, a guy to make plays on offense, get the ball in the playmaker's hands, I don't think it happens. So I'm going with TCU.
Me too. Josh Hoover and the Horned Frogs, they've won two of the last three. They got walked off at Baylor last week. They rebound. Oklahoma State's bowl streak ends.
Clean sweep here, TCU. I think they win and they cover a big line as a 10-point favorite. Okay, game number four. 17th-ranked Iowa State off that stunning loss on their home field against Texas Tech. Now they have to travel and play at Kansas against the Jayhawks team that is also trying to do something miraculous and stay bowl eligible. Iowa State only a 3-point favorite here, Austin. Are they going to win in Lawrence?
Yeah, I think so. I think Kansas is definitely not what everybody thought it was going to be. I think QB play has struggled all year. Iowa State, you know, it's hard to go undefeated, man, yeah, especially in the Big 12. I don't think that this is a conference that specifically has, you know, A-type caliber teams, but there's a lot of B-plus, B-minus, C-plus teams, and on any given Saturday, man, they could put it together. So there is going to be a lot of parity. So, you know, to go 8-0 in this, to go 8-0 or to go undefeated in this league is difficult, is going to be difficult. I'll give Iowa State one loss, but they're going to put it right back on the tracks this Saturday.
Iowa State as well. This one's an Arrowhead. They're going to be excited to play in the NFL stadium. Give me the Clone.
I believe Kansas is the team that they have shown me that they are, which is it's going to be close. In fact, they might lead late, and then Iowa State will find a way to win, and Kansas will lose another heartbreaker. So Iowa State, another clean sweep for us here in this pick 'em. Okay, game five. UCF all the way across the country after they had, like, this revolutionary performance in their own struggles and figured it out last week against Arizona. Can they sweep the Arizona schools and win in Tempe against Arizona State, Austin?
What time's the game?
This is it a 3:30 kickoff?
I'm not sure when it is.
Okay. I'm going with Arizona State.
Okay.
Okay. Arizona State scares me. With them being in the Cougars' future, I would love to tell you that Arizona State's going to lose, but that coach that they got down there, I love his energy. You can clearly see he's turned that program around. And Arizona State at home, man, forks up, dude. They're difficult to play at home.
It's at 5 o'clock Mountain Time.
Okay.
I never know what time it is in Arizona, okay. I'll be honest. Give me ASU. Cam Scadaboo leads the Big 12 in all-purpose yards. 175 a game. Forks up.
I think this is going to be a weird week all around. I think the road teams are going to have some success, more than usual. Give me UCF. Two in a row for the Golden Knights. Okay, last but not least.
No chance. No chance.
For the first time as Big 12 competitors, number 9 BYU at Utah. Austin, who are you going to pick?
Rise and shout, obviously. But I do think it's going to be close. Jerem and I were talking before. Like, I do not think this game does scare me. Utah does scare me. This is a mother deadlifting a helicopter off their son type situation, right? hopefully we can't take them lightly. We haven't been taking them lightly. I think Isaac comes in. I think Isaac puts together a few string of series that maybe gives them a chance. And I think the defense plays significantly harder, longer than what they have been, just because they got that extra shot in the arm, given that it's a rivalry game.
BYU QB advantage is too big for the Cougars. BYU will take the ball away multiple times and cash in. Give me the Cougars by 10 plus. Mm.
Yeah, I hate that confidence, Jerem. Can we bring it down just a little bit, bro? Okay, let's not jinx it.
Magic happens, Austin.
It's going to get weird in Salt Lake City, but not weird enough for BYU to walk out of there without their first win on the road at Utah in 18 years. Cougars figure it out in a very, very close, weird game.
By how much, Spence? How much? ESET plus 10, what are you thinking?
Cougs by 3.
Okay.
That's so no cover. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Austin, great to talk to you, man. We appreciate the time,
Thanks,
brother.
Thanks, Austin.
All right, gentlemen. We'll see ya.
Check them out on pregame coverage tomorrow. Also, before that in the afternoon, women's basketball tomorrow at 4 Eastern on ESPN+. Wyoming taking on BYU.
How are you all feeling about tomorrow's BYU-Utah throwdown? More responses or gifts, I should say, to our question of the day up next. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station, game day eve before the rivalry showdown in Salt Lake City. Our question of the day, which gift best explains how you feel about BYU at Utah tomorrow night?
These are great.
I've been laughing like basically all commercial break looking at so many of these. All right, let's get to at @mar_447, who brings in our good friend Ty Detmer. Oh, wait, that's Kenneth
from
Kenneth. 30 Rock. Shaking the water bottle, unable to drink. Yeah, the nerves are real. That's for sure. Okay, at
even an 8-0.
Even
an 8-0, there's a portion of the fan base that's still nervous.
KW Jazzman uses our good friend SpongeBob.
Similar chattering.
Chomping down his fingernails. Okay. KW Jasmine, also nervous. Okay. Jared Christensen at Crypto Chud uses the gift.
Jake Redsaw poking his head out on the bus. Jake's been on the national tour, man. He's been on.
No doubt.
Leinart and Rome and Heisman Trophy Pod. And
fun to watch.
All in Kalani's, like, Kalani has two. He has, like, his main office, then he has his, like, really, really nice, like, showcase office. That's where Jake's been doing it. That's funny.
His eyes are hilarious in that.
Hey, guys.
At BYU Tracker. Just a bunch of excitable kids on the playground screaming, let's go.
That kid is funny because it's like, yes! Like that's really funny. Hey,
send it. At A Beach 319.
I'm not nervous. Key and Beal.
Buckets of water.
Just sweating profusely.
Dripping down his face, yes. Buckets of sweat.
That's Utah fans watching the Utah offense this year as well, by the way.
Oh, man. It's an interesting dynamic with Utah playing almost like they're almost in a nothing-to-lose mentality.
Right? Well, they could lose.
They could miss the bowl game.
Miss a bowl game if they don't win two of the next three after this. Mm. At K. Drew Morris. In the
eye of a hurricane.
In the eye of
a
hurricane, yeah.
BYU flag.
Photoshop flag. Yeah, let's go, Giga! Woo!
Bring it! Oh, fantastic. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, in from at ghansen25. Our guy Glenn, who responds with none other than Kalani Sitake.
This is from 21 when the game
hyping
was over.
Hyping up the sideline and crowd when BYU has finished the job and ended the 9-game losing streak against Utah. That moment was incredible in that stadium.
It was beautiful. Now the pressure's on, Spence. There's certainly pressure on Utah to defend its home field and try and get to a bowl game. There's also pressure on BYU to maintain undefeated, to win in a place where they haven't won since 06, win in a place where they haven't won by double figures, in the rivalry since 96. I believe, and we believe, that BYU is going to go up there and win this game. It could totally get weird. I also feel like BYU could win by 10 plus. I really do.
This team has been the team of trend breaking.
Tell them what they can't do and see what happens.
Afternoon games, Big 12 road wins, winning in Florida in the afternoon. They've found a way to do it.
Yes, they have.
They do it again. Yep. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
We want to shout out Joey Meekum, who is the true blue hero after
Joey
Thursday's
said he
practice.
Made something for Harrison us. Tagger.
By the team, and he showed them
the
sign that
I love it.
Utah. They took it in the locker room. They put it up there. If they weren't already motivated enough, Spencer, they've got win for Joey as well this week. Joey going through an aggressive form of cancer. He's had his second week of radiation here of like 42 or something. So best of luck, Joey. Hang in there, man. You can do it. And like you saw on the sign when you hiked the Y when you were 3, you can do it. You can do it, buddy.
Yeah, we love Joey. Win for Joey.
Win for Joey. Let's go. Big game.
Our thanks to today's guest, BYU wide receiver Darius Lassiter and former BYU wide receiver Austin Colley.
Sorry to Dennis. Excited about a ball night tonight, Spence.
For Jeremiah and Spencer, shout out to Omar Morgan. Number one's feeling like number one. Go Cougs.